Beautiful. I appreciate our ensemble this morning singing for us twice. Grab your Bible this morning, if you will. We're going to be in a famous place in the Bible, Romans chapter 12 this morning. If you'll find Romans 12, we're going to look at one verse in this famous chapter and maybe just about the most famous verse in the chapter. It's certainly a part of two of the most famous verses, but we're just going to focus on verse 2, Romans chapter 12. And if you will, stand with me as soon as you find your place there. And while we're standing, I'd like to remind all of our men that we have a unique opportunity this coming Saturday. All of the men that are a part of our Band of Brothers, quarterly now, it was monthly, but our quarterly men's prayer breakfast, our Band of Brothers ministry, we have been invited by our good friends over at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Wilson. They call their men's ministry Men's United, and they have a fantastic prayer breakfast that they do, and they've invited us to join them. And so we are planning on taking a group over there this Saturday. We're going to leave the church. If you're going to drive with all of us that are here, we're going to leave at 7:30. And if you would get a hold of Brother Eric today, if you need a ride, we'd love to have all the men and young men to join us. It's 8:30 is when their prayer breakfast begins. And if we get out of here at 7:30, we'll get over there with probably about 15 minutes or so before it begins. And some of you men have been with us before. We've been over there, and boy, they put on an absolute spread. You won't find a restaurant in this part of North Carolina that produces any better breakfast, and so it'll be a great time, and I hope many of you men can be with us. Now, you probably notice in your bulletin there's a lot going on in the month of October, and I want to put a challenge out to our church family. I want to challenge you to try to be at every single Sunday during the month of October. We have, of course, 2 weeks from today is our homecoming Sunday. The following weekend is our fall revival with Pastor Kenny Baldwin. That's going to be a fantastic week. And then it isn't in the bulletin today. It will be in next week's bulletin. But 2 weeks after that, we have got Brother Nate White that is going to be with us. And we're going to have we want to try to have a great big fall big day on that Sunday. It's November 2nd. And we'd like to see how many lost people. We're asking Brother Nate to preach the gospel that morning, and we'd like to see a bunch of people get saved. We're going to have all of his blow-up toys, several of his slides and mouse houses and stuff here, and we're going to have it sort of like our family fun days, but we're actually calling this our Fall Family Friend Day. We're going to have dinner on the grounds, but we just want to have a great big day. And so I want you to be thinking about your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, your family members. Let's get them all in church that Sunday and expect something big from the Lord. Look with me, if you will, at chapter 12, verse 2. And I want to together in unison read this famous verse, and then we're going to be seated and jump into the message this morning. So together, Romans 12, verse 2, let's read it together, would you? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Boy, you did good, but let's do it one more time. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love to hear us read the Bible together. Let's do it one more time together. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we love you. Lord, I'm so thankful for each one who is here this morning. Our church family, our new friends, and Lord, first-time guests that are with us today, I just pray that you'd meet with every one of us. I pray you'd make us one this morning, and you promised if we two or three were gathered in your name, there you would be. Lord, I've already sensed your presence. But Lord, I'm praying that every single heart in this room will get something, Lord. You'll speak to us. You'll illuminate us, Lord. You'll edify us this morning. That's my prayer. Bless now in this hour, for I prayed in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I've titled this morning's message, Reformed or Transformed. I want you to think about that for a few minutes. A lot of people who get religion, if I could use that phraseology. Now, I'm not being judgmental. I'm not even being examining others. I'm asking each one to examine our own hearts this morning. But I wonder sometimes how many folks actually just experience a reformation rather than a true Bible transformation. Suppose you could change anything about yourself. Where would you start this morning? Now, most people, if we'd be honest, most of us would start on the outside. Some wish they were skinnier. Some wish they were taller. Some wish they were shorter. Some wish they were better looking. Can I ask you, what would you change this morning about yourself if you could change something? Would it be your hair? Some wish you had some. Amen. Your teeth? Your bulges? That was supposed to be funny. That's okay. Nobody thinks you're fat. We know you are. I'm just kidding. I mean, if we could wave a magic wand this morning and change our outward appearance, I wonder if it would be a light touch-up or an extreme makeover that we would desire. And I'm being a little facetious because I'm headed somewhere. Teenagers especially live in a state of constant fear about their outward appearance, especially girls do. And some of you boys don't care at all, and it's obvious you don't care at all about your outward appearance. But most people, if they would be honest, wish they could change some things about their appearance. And if the truth be known this morning, if we spent some time analyzing all of us, how many of us have decided to turn over a new leaf and go on a diet? And then you realize, you know what, why work so hard? Because it's all going to come back anyway. And then there's a handful that just said, you know what, I'm giving up. I'm going to start trying to cover up instead of trying to lose anymore. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? I could go on about that, but that's not the message. It is not easy, especially as you get older, sometimes to change the outside. But Brother Mike, as hard as it is to sometimes change the outside, what I have experienced is that it is infinitely more difficult to change on the inside. Amen. The truth be known, all humans, if we would be honest this morning, we know human nature, and people, if they change at all, they change very slowly. I wonder this morning about your life and my life this morning, about our personal struggles. What would you change about yourself on the inside this morning if you could? What would you change? Let me give you some thoughts. Would it be an impatient spirit? The Bible says ye have need of patience. Boy, if anything we need this morning, it is patience. Many would admit, preacher, I've got an impatient spirit. Would it be that you got a critical tongue? You've heard the analogy, a wise man said that great minds talk about ideas. Average minds talk about things. But weak minds talk about people. I wonder how many times our conversation veers into that lane where we're always talking about people. Can I be honest with you this morning? If that's you, that's something you definitely ought to be thinking about trying to change. Would it be an envy in your heart when others prosper, when others are blessed, you just can't rejoice with them because of envy? Maybe it would be a quick temper. No doubt some of you got a short fuse. It don't take much to turn you into a stick of dynamite. Maybe it would be a spirit of discontentment. Boy, that's a serious problem. Always wishing for something different. Always, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy if. But if and when seems to never happen. Could it be an ungrateful spirit? Boy, there ain't much about people that's less attractive than someone who isn't thankful. Maybe it's a lingering resentment. No matter how people try to build a relationship with you, it just don't seem possible because you're always resenting things. Could it be some lust that you can't conquer. I could stop right there and preach for a while, and I'd hit probably everybody in the room this morning. Maybe it's financial mismanagement. It don't matter how much some people make, they can't ever get ahead because they don't know how to manage money. They think every time they get a raise, I'm heading down to Rooms to Go to get new furniture. You know, the truth be known, that old couch probably doesn't need to be replaced. The springs ain't popped through yet, have they? Y'all listening to me? Could it be a bitter spirit? Oh, listen, my friend, I'm not preaching about that this morning, but nothing is as toxic in the soul of a man or woman than a spirit of bitterness. Could it be this morning that if you could change anything in your life, it'd be that conscience you got that just always condemns you? A guilty conscience is a terrible companion to live with. Maybe it's this morning, a judgmental spirit. I could stop there and preach a while too. Can I be honest with you? If every time you see people, the first thing you do is start thinking about what's wrong with them, or when... I'm trying not to start preaching. I'm just giving some thoughts to open into the heart of the message. But can I just say this right now? Does every time you leave people, someone leaves your presence, your first reaction is to start talking about what you didn't like about them? Boy, I don't know what they were thinking with that outfit they had on. I'm going to tell you what, you want to live all by yourself. That's a spirit you want to develop if you don't want a friend in this world. Maybe it's a disorganized life. Maybe it's the ability or the inability, I should say, to say no. Some of you, no matter how hard you try, you just please people to the point they abuse you. And you don't know how to say no. You need affirmation so bad you never say no when sometimes you need to. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe you just got an old-fashioned mean streak in you. You're just ornery. Just always aggravated at everybody. Maybe it's an overbearing stubbornness. Can I just tell you something? Stubbornness doesn't mean you got high convictions. Amen. Stubbornness means you're full of yourself.
That's right.
Hey, listen. We get this idea sometimes, well, bless God, I'm not wrong and I'm not changing, but what if you are wrong? What I've discovered, Brother Bob, sometimes we have a right position, but we discredit that because of our disposition. If you're right, that doesn't mean you need to be ugly towards everybody. All of us this morning, if we'd be honest, have a thing or two in our life, maybe more, that we need to change. But here's what I'm discovering. A lot of folks just don't know how to do it. We don't know where to begin. Many of us are dreaming of something different, of something better. We don't want to be the person tomorrow that we were yesterday. Hey, listen, boy, don't the advertisers play on that in your heart and my heart. I mean, how many would admit your email box is crammed full of and if you ever click on one of them, you get everyone in the world, lose weight now. Make money overnight. I don't know who it is. Somebody keeps sending me a thing telling me I can make $1,000 a week on the side. Hey, I saw one the other day. It said, watch unwanted pounds melt away. And I said, I want that one, amen. Just pop a pill, amen. Eat this supplement and stand in the mirror and literally watch myself shrink. Boy, how many of y'all want that one, amen? Hey, how many of you have tried that and found out it don't work? That was a scam too. Truth is, and I'm being a little facetious this morning, but change is hard. Even if it's good change. By the way, that's why we move. That's why we change jobs. That's why we get a facelift. That's why we buy a new car. That's why we get a new boyfriend. That's why we go to a new church. That's why we start working out. That's why we buy a new outfit. And on it goes. We see something wrong and we want something different. Many of the things that I just mentioned aren't wrong unto themselves. We're tempted to just change if we're not careful the outside. But how many would agree with me this morning? The real change that we need in our life isn't on the outside. It's on the inside. I want to say something, and I won't get on a rabbit trail here, but I want to deal with something. I believe I have for many, many years believed in Christian education. I believe in Christian schools. I believe in a good biblical-based homeschool. If a family feels God's led them, that I believe in Bible colleges. I believe in Bible institutes. I believe in all of that. But I said all that for this reason. You and I better be careful. Parents, students, we need to understand. It isn't enough to merely get Bible information. We all know kids that went to a Christian school and didn't turn out right. Oh, they had a chapel class every week. They had a Bible class every day. But listen, you need more and I need more than Bible information. Thank God for that. I'm not downplaying that. But what we really need is a Bible transformation. Y'all hear me? Thank God for Bible information. But listen, knowledge alone will not save us. Knowledge alone will certainly not change us. You know what we got to do? You got to do something with the knowledge that you have. Amen. How then can we change, preacher? It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. We've all heard the analogy, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. But here's my point this morning. Most of us change very slowly if we change at all. Now catch this. Few of us make any lasting changes except under pressure or as a result of personal pain. I've learned in my life that most lasting change that I have experienced has been because of a trauma that I had to go through. A loss, a difficulty, a setback, a valley I had to travel through. No, I didn't want to go through it. No, I didn't want to face it. But it's those times when we are vulnerable that we are most willing to say, okay, Lord, enough's enough. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing for you to tell me what I need to do. You all have heard the analogy, no pain, no what?
Gain.
No gain. I've learned this, there is no growth without struggle. Now listen, long-held beliefs. Can I beg all of you this morning that battle with this thinking of deciding who is and who isn't saved because of how they're doing right now in their life? I know that by their fruits, Jesus said, you'll know them. But the truth is, if somebody was a drunk for 30 years and he gets saved, he probably ain't going to be sober in 3 days. He's going to have to go to some detox. He's going to have to go through join some groups and get around people that have won the victory over that demon. Hey, listen, my friend, you are not going to be 100 miles an hour heading that direction and the next day be going 100 miles that direction. I wish it was that simple. But the truth is, we change slowly. Sinful bondage can be broken. Hallelujah. But it's going to take more than a quick prayer at the end of the service at an altar. That may be where it begins, but that ain't going to be all it's going to take to win the victory. See, to see significant growth in your life, it ain't going to happen without a cost. That's why in this hour we're living in, so few change is obvious because most folks don't want to pay a price. Oh, we want to be victorious. We want to have God's goodness and blessing showered upon us as long as it doesn't cost me anything. You know what our biggest hindrance, in my opinion, is to change? As long as our life is going okay, we resist change. I mean, why do I need to change? We're surviving. We're doing okay. Or our marriage may not be great, but at least we're tolerating each other. You know one of the benefits, and I'm not going to get in a rabbit trail here either, but let me just hit this for a second. You know one of the benefits of a local church? One of the reasons that we need to be in church and be around other people, and I don't mean just come to one service a week. I mean get involved with people. Is because if you got some things screwed up in your life, it's going to come out. And see, a lot of our struggles, Brother Todd, we can't win the battle by ourselves. And so when you get hanging around people and you start building friendships in the church, if you got a bad attitude, it's going to come out. And somebody's going to say, hey, buddy, you need to knock it off, man. You're way too hard on your wife. If I was your son or daughter, I'd already left home the way you talk to her. See, you don't get that when it's just you living in your own little bubble. But when you get around godly people who love you, who understand the principle of iron sharpening iron, people are going to prod you a little bit. I love it when someone battles with a critical and a negative spirit in spiritual people kindly, but say, I don't like talking about that kind of stuff. I don't know why nobody, I ain't got no friends. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That just doesn't mean you're a friendly person. That means you don't have a bunch of traits that are objectionable to people. You may not know this, but good, godly people don't want to talk about other people every time they get with you. They want to talk about how good the Lord is. They want to talk about some blessing you've had. They want to talk about some burden that they're praying about for someone else, but they don't want to sit around and hear people tore down all the time. See, a lot of people got enough burdens already going on in their life. They don't need to come into your presence and my presence and leave with 10 more piled on top of them because we just spew out garbage every time we're talking. Are y'all hearing me this morning? How, preacher, can we change? I got some things in my life that need to be changed. I'd like to see them changed. How can we do it? Can I give you a couple of statements and we'll be done this morning? Look at our text one more time, chapter 12, verse 2 of Romans. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. Mm-hmm. Say it with me out loud, the next four words, would you? But be ye transformed. If you're taking notes, write this down. First and foremost, we must be transfigured internally. You say transfigured, that ain't the word there, preacher. That says transform. Oh, listen. Guess what the Greek word is that word transformed is translated from? It's the word metamorphi, the word we get metamorphosis from. Y'all remember in eighth grade or seventh grade science, you learned about metamorphosis? You learned that little squiggly worm crawling down the limb there is actually not a worm. He's a caterpillar, and he's actually, I know it don't look like it. It's hard to imagine it could ever happen, but he's actually a butterfly. That particular one's a monarch butterfly. The very first stage that he goes through when he's still in that caterpillar stage, that's called the larva stage. Are y'all with me? Then you know that in time, he puts himself in that cocoon. That's called the pupa stage. And then one day, he breaks that seal and he comes out and he is a butterfly. You know what he was when he was born? He was a butterfly. He was a butterfly. Go back to my worm there, Brother Jeffrey. He was a monarch butterfly on the inside, but he wasn't one yet on the outside, because the inside had not been revealed yet on the outside. Sometimes in our kind of Bible believing churches, and I'm not being critical, I'm just asking you and I to be transparent this morning. In our kind of churches, sometimes because we dress up and we're conservative in our theology, sometimes we have the mindset that we measure everybody by what we see on the outside. And the truth of the matter is, you can clean up pretty good on the outside and be as dark as imaginable on the inside. Hey, listen, you want to see a clean bunch of people, go to a Mormon church. They look good on the outside. Hey, listen, I don't know how to change, preacher. It has to start on the inside. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 17, flip over there with me real quick, will you? I want you to see something. Turn to Matthew 17. Don't lose your place here in Romans. We'll come back in just a moment. But in Matthew 17, I want you to see verse number 2. Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed. Notice what happens in Matthew 17:2. This is Jesus with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible says in verse 2, and speaking of Jesus, and was what? Transfigured. I said this morning, we must be transfigured internally. That's how we change. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus, when the disciples saw his glory, look what it says. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. You know what happened? He was always God. He was the God-man. He took on the form of a flesh. But every one of these men, Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples, would be asked to give their lives for the gospel. And they needed to know that the man they were preaching about wasn't just another rabbi, wasn't just a good teacher, but he was in fact God in the flesh. Amen. So what God did on the Mount of Transfiguration is he pulled back the flesh and he let them see who he really was. That's transfigured. That's transformation. And you can't make that happen. I'm going to try harder. You can't try harder. You're either a butterfly or you ain't a butterfly. So I don't know what to do. Here's what I do. I get really born again is what I do. I'd get a real spiritual birthday. I'd experience a real supernatural, I mean salvation. Listen, when you get saved, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. That means you literally get brand new DNA when you get saved. Next Sunday is my spiritual birthday. Why'd you tell us that? Because I always like presents. That's not why I told you that. I do like presents, but I got two birthdays, January 3rd and October 5th. Thank God for my first one. I wouldn't be here if that didn't happen. But I am more thankful for my second than I am my first. Because all my first birthday did, Brother Jeff, was get me an Adams family. But hallelujah, my second birth got me in the second Adams family. My first birth got me consigned to a grave one day. My second birth gives me an entrance one day into heaven. My first birth condemned me to a fallen nature. My second birth gave me a brand new nature. Amen. Listen, you'd be amazed how hard it is to try to be a good Christian when you're not one. Most folks that can't seem to get on the victory side, I'm not trying to scare you, but you ought to really make sure you got the real thing. Because the only way we really change is we got to be transfigured internally. Think of it this way. When Jesus was transfigured in that moment, what Peter, James, and John saw was the real Jesus. That's what they saw. The Son of God from heaven. Listen, when a caterpillar enters a cocoon only to emerge as a butterfly, the caterpillar does not change its basic nature. What metamorphosis does, it reveals what was always in the genes of the caterpillar. Listen, caterpillars can't fly, but the truth of the matter is they were born to fly. How do you solve the conundrum? Metamorphosis. When the caterpillar is changed from a worm to a butterfly, listen, he becomes what God always intended him to be. See, I'm looking at a room full of people this morning in every stage. Some of you are in the larva stage. Some of you are in the pawpaw stage. Some of you are getting ready to come out of it. But you got to make sure you got that flying DNA in there if you ever hope to truly change. And can I beg moms and dads, I'm not giving kids an excuse for having a bad attitude, but mom and dad, don't put too much emphasis on the outside. Some of you are frustrated as all get out at your kids, and half the world would give anything to have a kid like the one you got. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm for pushing your kids. I'm not talking about being too easy on them, but listen, you got to let God work in their life. I was talking to my dear friend, Brother Darrell Cox, this week, and we weren't being critical, but we mentioned another preacher, and he don't line up exactly where me and Brother Cox would line up and everything. I love what he said, Brother Ken. He said, Brother John, He said they got to do what they believe God wants them to do, not what you and I want them to do. I said, amen, preacher. Hey, you know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have a young person say, Mom and Dad, I just ain't sure, than to go along and conform to everything we demand. And the second they've got their own free will, we never see them again. Hey, listen. You can make somebody be obedient. But if it's not on the inside, it's only going to last as long as they're in your eyesight. Brother Kelly, I'm not bragging. I'm not being arrogant this morning about this in the slightest. But it blesses my heart beyond description to know that right now this morning, my son's preaching his second service. My daughter's singing in the ensemble at her church. My grandkids are all in their classes. I don't know how to even put it into words. You say, do your kids agree with you on everything? Man, I don't even agree with me on everything. Man, half the time you say, well, so-and-so's disgruntled, Pastor. Half the time I'm disgruntled and I'm the pastor. Man, things don't always go. They don't always work out the way I want. But listen, my job as a pastor is to shepherd this church, not dictate everybody's decisions. If you want a dictator, you're going to have to find a cult. I ain't going to be a pastor one of those. I want a pastor. I want hard preaching where I go to church, but I want to let the Holy Spirit do the work in people's lives. Hey, listen, if they got the real deal, Holy Ghost can get a lot more done from the inside out than you and I will ever get done from the outside in. Hey, you've all seen the beautiful sculpture I'm thinking about this morning. In 1464, a sculptor by the name of Agostino D'Annunzio began working on a huge piece of flawed marble, intending to produce a magnificent sculpture of an Old Testament prophet for a cathedral in Florence, Italy. But after 2 years of trying to make something out of that massive piece of stone, he gave up in discouragement. That was in 1464 when he started. It sat idle until 1476. A second sculptor by the name of Antonio Rosolino started a work on the very same piece of marble, but it wasn't long after he abandoned as well. It wouldn't be until the year 1501 that a 26-year-old young man was offered a very generous financial arrangement if he could do something with this massive piece of marble that was called the Giant. That was its name. It took him 4 long years, nearly every single day. He actually, Brother Mike, saw a big flaw on one portion of the bottom of it, and that had been one aspect that had stumped most of the sculptors. But what he decided was to do is to make that a stump that the statue would be leaning against. 4 years later, he revealed what maybe many art aficionados say it's the most perfect sculpture ever done by humankind. He called it David. Now, here's what fascinates me about that, Brother Ken. They asked him, by the way, his name was Michelangelo. They asked Michelangelo, how in the world did you produce that masterpiece when others gave up in defeat? And here's what he said. He said, I just chipped everything away that didn't look like David. You know what God's doing in your life and my life this morning if we're truly saved? He's chipping away on everything in my life and your life today that don't look like Jesus. Amen. And if you're like me, buddy, he has sure got a lot of work still ahead to get that thing looking like Jesus. But as the songwriter said, he's the potter and I'm the clay. He's the sculptor and we're the raw material this morning. Change doesn't happen overnight. It took Michelangelo 4 years working every day, long hours, for that masterpiece. Let me say, preacher, I've been saved for 4 decades. Yeah, he was pretty rough material when he started, too. A lot of us come from a long line of rough material. I mean, I was doing some family tree research a few years back, and my dad said, don't look too far back in there, son. You might find, he said, when you're looking up them family trees, you might find some nooses hanging over some of them limbs. Looking up our family. Hey, you know what Dad was saying? You're going to find out, son, a lot of imperfect people had our last name. Hey, listen, half the junk in your life is because of that stuff. It's called generational curses. It's called generational sins. It's called familiar spirits. And when we get saved, there's a lot of work the master has to do. But oh, for the day that he looks at you and I and says, wow. Wow. She really does resemble Jesus. He really does resemble Jesus. Wow. Can I just put it on the record this morning? All of us are works in progress. We are not finished. We are not glorified. We are definitely not perfected. We are absolutely not completed. You know what all of us ought to have on our chest this morning? A sign that says, under construction. Amen. You ever been around a construction zone? Go downtown Raleigh when they're building a big skyscraper. It's noisy. It's messy. Don't wear no nice black slacks or black outfit. If you go around a construction zone, it's gonna be dirty. Well, preacher, you don't know what a mess I'm married to. No. You're married to somebody that's under construction. While the hammering and sawing continues, it's hard to imagine that one of these days God's gonna step back and say, oh my soul, look what happened. Amen. Here's what I've learned though. If you always concentrate on your weaknesses, you will lose confidence that you can ever change. Hey, preacher, you don't know how many weaknesses I got. I bet you this. I bet you ain't much farther ahead than most of the rest of us. Here's what you got to do. If you concentrate on your weaknesses, you're going to always lack confidence that God can truly transform your life. But if you will instead concentrate on his faithfulness, you'll grow in your confidence. I'm talking to someone this morning that ain't got a lick of confidence that you're ever going to be even remotely what God wants you to be. You look at someone like Brother Money. You look at someone like Brother Ken and you say, look at someone like Brother Billy and you say, they ain't a prayer. But you're thinking about your weaknesses. You know what I know about Brother Ken? You know what I know about Dr. Money? You know what I know about Brother Jeff? You know what I know about Brother Billy? They tell you, I got so many problems still in my life. They tell you, God's been working on me, but he ain't finished yet. Here's what I imagine this morning, Brother Chris. In my mind's eye, I picture God as a sculptor with a rough piece of marble, a chunk he named John Jenkins. Boy, it's a hard job. He's been working on certain spots, it seems like forever. He stands back and looks at it and says, nope, that ain't right either. And he works and works and works, and he steps back and says, good night. I don't know if I'm ever going to get this fixed. Do I have a witness? Amen. Misshapen, discolored, cracked here, cracked there. Listen, might be the worst piece of marble he could have ever used, but listen, he's undeterred. He works patiently, chipping away here and chipping away there, chiseling this and chiseling that, stopping and occasionally polishing this and that. Listen, one of these days, I know it seems like it's going to be forever, but he's going to be done and he's going to be thrilled with his work. All I can tell you is this. There's still a lot in this piece of marble that doesn't look like Jesus. And it seems like he works the most. in those areas. But you know what I'm encouraged about, Brother Manning? I'm encouraged that every morning he goes back to the same place and goes to chipping again. How many are glad this morning he ain't giving up on you? I love that great verse, Brother Hunter, in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will, not might, but he will perform it until the day of Christ. What's that mean? It means he ain't going to quit working on you. I said, number one, and I'm hurrying to the finish line this morning, we must be transfigured internally. But let me end with this morning. Our great text, Romans 12:2, also says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And then it says this, by the renewing of your mind. Not only must we be transfigured internally, we must also be reprogrammed mentally. I was having a very pleasant conversation with someone this week that randomly called me, and I say randomly, I mean it was a wonderful conversation, but I wasn't expecting the call. And they were walking into a situation with somebody, and they just said, I need some wisdom, preacher, and I just thought I'd call you. And we talked a little bit about how they were going to try to handle their situation, and the parent and a child situation, what it was involving, and they were going to be involved in a meeting with someone else that was going to try to help fix this situation. And as we were talking, I said, now listen to me. They were talking about Brother Jeff, and they were right, that this other individual, you know, they were listening to their feelings, they were listening to their flesh. And I said, that's all true, but there's another voice in this thing, and it's a stinking devil. Paul makes a statement in his letters to the Corinthians that there are many voices in the world and none of them are without signification. We all hear voices regularly in our life. Now, if you literally hear audible ones, you're a schizophrenic. I ain't talking about that. But we all hear voices. And the problem is you need to have the discernment as you grow in the Lord to know if that was a lie or if that was the truth. Brother Riley, if you're sitting there and you're thinking about a situation and a voice, not audibly, but a thought comes into your mind, I'm stupid. That's a lie.
Amen.
I don't care if you flunked every class in school, that's a lie. That's a lie. But a lot of people believe the lies. They've developed a whole system of value about themselves and other people based on lies. Especially when people are different than we are. Most people are scared out of their mind of people that are different. That's why they don't reach out to people. They get comfort from being around their own little kind. And the problem with that is you never influence anybody or are influenced if you always stay in a little circle. Hey, I want to let every voice imaginable in my life, but I need to have discernment. Is that truth or is that a lie speaking to me? By the way, if you're wondering what he's doing back here, he's such a wimp, he crashed out. No, I'm just kidding. No, he found out he had a real severe food allergy and they wouldn't let him stay in the Marine Corps. So he's back. And I'm not glad that he didn't get to make it to the Marine Corps, but I'm thrilled he's back. Now, I think the world of this young man. But when I first met him, there was a tendency in my heart not to see the potential that I see in him today. Because he was a little rougher looking on the outside. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You remember when he first came. He didn't look bad. You could just tell he hadn't grown up in church. That was all it was. But man, I started slowly watching him. Changing, yeah, some on the outside, but no. I mean, sitting on the edge of his seat during the preaching. Writing things down in his Bible, the second the invitation started running to the altar.
Yes, sir.
You know what was happening? Do you realize how different we are? Now, I know a little bit about his world, but we're different than the world he came from. But you know what he did? He let God pull him into our church family.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't know him, shame on you.
Yes.
You ought to get connected to this young man. He's a real deal.
Amen.
There's a lot of people who are the real deal. You've been believing lies. Enemy's been saying to you, well, man. So I don't know how to discern if it's a lie or truth. That's why you got to know your Bible. How many of y'all are glad that people gave you the benefit of the doubt when they didn't have enough evidence that they should have given you the benefit of the doubt?
Amen, preacher.
Yes, sir.
And every group we go into, somebody's got to say, give the guy a chance.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you the group that ought to be the most lenient with that, the New Testament church. If we make people straighten up before we let them be a part of us, that is totally contrary to the gospel.
Amen.
You can't clean fish till you catch them.
Amen.
Did y'all know that?
Amen, preacher.
People don't have to reform before they're welcome in my life.
Yes, sir.
The purpose of my life is to help them. Experience Jesus so they can have a transformation, not a reformation.
Amen.
And I'm almost done, but can I just say it this way? I think we get a little squishy sometimes about spiritual things. I think we think too much, Brother Ken, in emotional terminology. Mm-hmm. Boy, did you feel God there this morning? Now, I like it when it feels good. There ain't nothing wrong with feelings. If someone tells you emotions aren't important, they're not living. Emotions are important. Listen, feelings are very real. And listen, they matter a great deal. But notice our text says thee be transformed by getting in a better mood. That ain't what it says. It says by the renewing of your mind. Listen, while I love emotions and I love feelings, listen, I'll tell you how I know God showed up is I get spoken to by this book right here. And I say, oh, that's what I need to do. Oh, that's where I need to focus next. Hey, listen. Being transformed by the new in your mind is talking about your relationship with the Bible.
Amen.
Now, I'm done, but I want to give you a little formula. It's not mine. I can't claim originality to it. Some of you have maybe got a Dr. Charles Ryrie many years ago did a study Bible. And Ryrie is the one who came up with this formula. It's the way that we change. Here's what it is. T plus HH equals SG. So what's that mean, preacher? Here's what Ryrie said that means. Time plus habits of holiness will equal spiritual growth. I tell you this, you ain't going to change overnight. You're not even going to change in a year or two. Not the kind of change you really want. It's a one step forward and two steps back and three steps forward and one step back. It isn't this way, it's... Hey, listen. You might feel like a total failure this morning, but you're basing on what's happened in the last few weeks. You're not basing on where you started.
Right.
Hey, listen. This statement is so profound. I didn't even give it to you, but I'm going to go back to it. I think I need to. How can I renew my mind, preacher? What's the formula? Here it is. Desire must be combined with discipline. I want to be more spiritual. Man, that is a wonderful desire. But it ain't going to happen in a couple of days. Some of you have been trying. Since I've been your pastor 6 years ago, when God brought Mrs. Jenkins and I to Clayton, I start every year printing and giving to our church family the Spiritual Life Journal. And one of the features of it is a roadmap to read your Bible through in a year. Some of you have tried to do that every single year and you still ain't done it. I'm a total failure, preacher. No, you're reading the Bible more than you used to.
Amen.
You got farther than you did the year before. Now, it'll be a great victory when you can say, hey, I actually read in the last 52 weeks the entire Bible. What a victory. You need to start on January 1 doing it again. Now, how many times have you read your Bible through, preacher? I used to keep track of, Brother Mike. It's been over 35 times, but it might be 37 or 38, but it's at least 35 times. And you know what? Every time I read it through again, I got margins of my Bible filled with so many notes that I never, ever saw before.
That's right.
Because it's a living book, and it transforms. Right. It renews our minds. But if you're going to get through it in a year, the average, if you do the math, in our Bible reading schedule is about 3.5 chapters a day. And unless you're speed reading, ain't getting nothing out of it. It's about a 25, 30 minute minimum that it takes to get through that many chapters and comprehend any of it. So that means minimum of 30 minutes per day for 365 days. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be changing whether you know it or not. But a lot of people want to run to an altar in a very emotional service. I love them. I ain't against them kind of services. But they want to run an altar in an emotional service and tell everybody, I got right with God. And we all shout and hug your neck and cry. And 2 weeks later, you're backsliding again. Not because you're a bad person. It's because change doesn't happen overnight. Dr. Ryrie said, time plus habits of holiness equals spiritual growth. Now, I actually have changed it slightly. I've added one more equation to the equation. I call it THHGE plus GE equals SG. Say, what's the GE? Time plus habits of holiness plus godly encouragement equals spiritual growth. If you're like me, I just ain't strong enough, Brother Ken, to not need every once in a while someone to put their hand on my shoulder and say, you're doing good, son. I appreciate you.
Amen.
I've seen a difference in you. I've seen a change in you. Amen. You'd be amazed, mom and dad, how you could change your son or daughter if you'd stop trying to nag them into change and start recognizing when they make just a little bit of progress. Amen. And praise them for it. You say, well, they make so many stupid decisions, preacher. I just don't feel they're worthy of the praise. Yeah, just like you. Just like me. How many of y'all know the apple don't fall too far from the tree? But the Bible still says, as the finding pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold, so is a man to his praise. You know what a finding pot and what a furnace does to silver and gold? It refines it. When you heat it up, when you heat those raw ingredients of silver and gold, what happens is the impurities come to the top. And you know what happens? Brother Mike, you know how you bring purity, change into your daughter's life? You praise them when you see anything worth praising, even if they didn't deserve it. Because, see, there's something in my human nature that likes it when it feels good. Ladies, don't get mad at me. You will never change that man you married by nagging him. You know what nagging does? The Bible says that he runs to the rooftop. Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of the rooftop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Let me paraphrase that. When you nag him, he escapes to the cave that he hibernates in. I don't know why my man's always in the garage. I'll tell you why he's in the garage, because he don't like to be in the house. I'm not scolding you. I'm not picking on you. But it didn't work, did it? If he changes, you married a wimp. But if he's a real man, he can be changed. But you ain't going to do it in the flesh. Hey, ladies, I'm going to stop preaching and start meddling. I'm out of time, but I got to tell you this. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you gave your husband instructions on the way to church this morning about how to drive? Do not raise your hand. The laugh right now betrays all of you. Say, well, he can't drive, preacher. None of us can. We're not paying attention. We're sightseeing. We're taking in the scenery. How many times, sir, has your wife said, honey, you're going to hit those people? You slam your brakes, say, woman, quit yelling at me. She just saved you from an accident. And it's hard to, you say, we fight all the time about driving. The secret is drive separate to church. That's the secret. My wife has said to me many times, I don't know how you have lived this long. Like, I drive good when you ain't in the car. You're always distracting me. No, listen. You ain't going to make him a better driver by yelling at him. I know, you say, I can't tell you. My nerves are, drive your own, drive yourself. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. How many would say this morning, I need some things to change in my life, preacher? All kidding aside, I need some things to get fixed. It ain't going to happen unless you truly know Jesus is your Savior. And the Holy Spirit can transform you internally, transfigure you. But you got to mentally begin the process of renewal. See, if you think you're so smart you don't need to read the Bible every day, you don't even understand what it's about. Change won't happen by accident. It doesn't happen overnight. It cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. It happens when we make a personal commitment. It happens with godly encouragement from other Christians. It happens as we become what God has made us to be. And it happens as we behold the glory of our Savior. Listen to the way the Bible says it. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know what that means? It means when the Spirit is present, he's got liberty to fix some things. He's got liberty to address some things. But here it is, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass. That word glass is from a Greek word that literally means a mirror. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass or mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what that's saying? This book is a mirror. And when you and I look into it, what we actually see is Jesus. And us right beside of him. Hey, don't compare yourself to me. Don't compare yourself to Dr. Money. You're going to be disappointed. We ain't much farther down the road than you are. But if you compare yourself to Jesus, you'll see need for improvement every time you look. And what a supernatural, miraculous thing it says. When we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, supernaturally, spiritually, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, every time you get in this book, every time you hear it preached and taught, transformation is taking place. If you ever get a chance to visit the Billy Graham Library over in Charlotte, it's worth the trip. Of course, Billy Graham died just a couple years ago, but his precious wife, Ruth Graham, died about 5 years before he did. And on Billy's marker is the one there on the right, but Ruth's, which was there a few years earlier, is on the left. And on the bottom there, you can't quite see it in that picture, but the next screen will give you a blow-up of it. Look what it says on Ruth Graham's tombstone. Engraved, give us that next slide, if you will, Brother Jeffrey. It says, the end of construction. Thank you for your patience. The end of construction. One of these days, Brother Byron, they're going to put you and me in the ground if Jesus don't come back first. And that will be when construction is over. So I'm already in my 80s, preacher. You're breathing. You're still under construction. Can you hear? Can you hear it in the background? Can you hear the saws? Can you hear the hammers? You say, what's going on, preacher? God's working all over this room right now. And he's working on people that know him as Savior. And I'm simply asking you this morning, will you yield and let him keep chipping away everything that doesn't look like Jesus?